Thank you, ladies. May our hearts be continually tuned and turned to our Lord and our God. Turn to the book of Philippians. As we have begun a study here in Philippians, we first of all began and looked at the beginnings of that church and saw the beginnings of the church at Philippi, that it came as a result of, first of all, God choosing a man. And we looked at the salvation of Saul of Tarsus and how, as we come to know him here as Paul, we saw God's plan being carried out as this man sought to go among the Gentiles and proclaim the gospel. And then we looked how God prepared the hearts of those that he had called him to. We looked at what we sing, I've heard the Macedonian call today. That's where it certainly was, as Paul was called there as a man from Macedonia to come over and preach to them. And certainly we saw that the Lord had prepared the hearts of those there in Philippi, of Lydia, of the Philippian jailer, and how that work began. Then we looked at the first verses of here the chapter in Philippians, and a few years have passed, and we've seen there's an established church that is there in Philippi. And we look at the heart of Paul and Timothy. Paul and Timothy, as they were there, we saw them as servants, bond slaves, ones that had given themselves over completely to serve the Lord. We saw their inner motives of their heart was to serve God. They made themselves true slaves of Jesus Christ. Their will was to know God's will and then to do it. We saw their heart's desire as they sought there for the Philippians, desire for the grace of God, the gifting of God in their lives, that the peace of God would flood their hearts, the peace of God, the peace with God that they had, and then God would give them their peace, and the peace with one another. They recognized that was all from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, as Paul and the addresses the Philippians, we'll look a little bit more into his heart as a missionary, his heart as the apostle, and we'll see how he loved the church. I want you to see that today, the love that Paul had for the people there at Philippi, and I believe it's an expression, as we look at it and learn from it, the love that we need to have. One for another in the household of faith. In verses 3 and 4, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. We see here in those verses a thankfulness for the saints. A thankfulness for the saints. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Certainly we see here a prayer of thanks. But as we look at that, Christian brethren are a gift of God. Paul recognized that God had drawn those ones to himself. He'd indwelt them with his spirit. He made them a new creature, and he's doing a work of sanctification in their hearts to make them more like him, to conform them to his image. Do you think about as you look around and you see one another, that your Christian brethren are a gift from God? This is something that God has given. Something that God has given to you. He's given to us together. You're the work of God, a work that God has done in drawing you to himself, a work that God has done when he indwelt you by his spirit. when you're in Christ, he's made you a new creation, a new creature. He's in the process of working with you helping you to have yourself conformed to his image. Paul looked as he saw there those at the church at Philippi. He says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." As he thought of them, recognizing that they were the gift of God. They were that of what God and the work that God was doing. You know, it's easy for us to look at the faults of one another. You don't have to look too far until you find a fault in us somewhere. But I think of the one that, and I don't know where that came from, but I remember somebody said they had it posted on their refrigerator that said, "Don't give up on me. God is not finished with me yet." And that's, I'm not sure where that originated from, but it's true. You know, we don't give up on those around us. God's working on us. He's dealing with us. He's seeking to conform us to his image. Paul certainly didn't look at the church at Philippi as a perfect church. But he looked at him and he thanked God for the work that God was doing there. So, you know, you consider God's work in each other's lives. And I think it's important for us to not look at what your brother and sisters are not, but look at what they are. Look at what God has done. And then recognizing that they are a work of the grace of God in progress. For it were not for the work of God in our lives, where would we be today? What would our lives be like? Where would we be in our following our own flesh and going in our own sin and in that downward spiral of sin with which we see the society around us going? What a blessing it is to be gathered together in assembly, as those that have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and recognizing the work that God is doing in us. We recognize that we are brothers and sisters together in Christ. What a blessing that is. Consider how much your church family means to you. As Paul described to them, "I thank God upon every remembrance of you." Paul was giving thanks to God for the saints. He gave thanks to God for those there at Philippi. Thanks to God for our brethren should be a regular part of our prayer, as it was with Paul. Just looking and thanking God for your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, at this point, and we look at that thing, it might be good just to stop for a moment and look around. Look around and see who's here. Go ahead, look around. I'll let you do that just for a moment. You know, take your mind off of the front and just look around and see who's here. And then think of the work that God is doing in each individual life in various ways. Think of where God has brought them from and where they are and the things, the grace, how the grace of God has worked in their lives. And then here, just silently in your own heart, thank God for them. Just right now in your own spirit, just say, "Lord, thank you for such and such. Thank you for them. Thank you for the work that you're doing in their lives and drawing them to yourself." I believe that's the heart of Paul. That's the heart of Paul. He says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." As he thought of them and he considered them, he was there giving thanks to the Lord for the brethren that were there in that assembly working together. The next thing I think we see in verse 4, he says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Paul didn't just thank God for them as he remembered them, but he made intercession for them. He brought them before the Lord, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request. He was making request to the Lord on their behalf. You know, Paul's prayers were people-centered. They were centered in the people. They were centered in the saints, and here they were centered here in the saints at Philippi as he was considering them and recognizing that in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. When you read it, you know, Paul went through a lot of trials. Paul went through much persecution. He had physical needs, which we don't know about. We talk about the thorn in the flesh that he had, that he wanted the Lord to remove it, but the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. So we do know that he made request, particularly for those physical needs that he had. He made request, but he was happy. He was content with the answer of the Lord. When the Lord said, no, I'm not going to take that from you, but my grace is sufficient for you. And so he said, then most happily, if this is, Lord, if this is what you have, then that's okay. Then that's okay. We've been praying for Ray, and we're continuing to pray for Ray, and we just pray that they come up with some answers for him and some way to help him. And yet, you know, Ray has said to me on a number of occasions, he said, you know, that's my desire, but if that's not what the Lord does, then that's okay. You know, that takes a confidence, a trust in the Lord, and that's what we each desire for, is that kind of a confidence and trust. But you know, as Paul, most of his prayers, they were not for himself, but they were people-centered. He talked about the sufferings of Christ, and he didn't ask. He wasn't continually asking the Lord, "Oh Lord, spare me from this suffering." He said, "I count the suffering of Christ to be a great privilege, that I'm honored to be able to suffer for my Lord's sake, who suffered so much for me." Paul's prayers were people-centered, and we see him here interceding on behalf of his brethren. We have to stop and think how much of our prayer time is only self-centered. How much of our prayer time is only self-centered? That it's only, Lord, for this particular need that I have, and we are to come before the Lord with our, and I'm not saying we don't pray, we don't have those personal requests, but we see Paul continually making requests for the saints. We see Paul in a number of places. We don't, his requests are for his effectiveness in the ministry. Pray that I will have boldness. Pray that the Lord will give an open door. Pray that the effect of the that the gospel will go forth in its power, and so I guess as I look at that and I see Paul praying for others, his requests, I have to ask myself, and I ask you, are we continually considering the needs of our brethren and upholding them in prayer? You see, Paul's prayer was an intercessory prayer. He was concerned for the welfare of the saints. He was continually bringing their needs before the very throne of grace. You know, Paul knew that God has chosen to move as people pray. He also knew that God has revealed that sometimes he doesn't give until the people ask. You know, you have not because you ask not. As we learn those things, and we learn those things about how God desires for us to pray. He wants us to come together in prayer, where two or three are gathered together in my name. There I am in your midst. So there's that idea, not just of our personal prayer, but the idea of our coming together in prayer. Paul had an intercessory ministry. As we examine our prayer, do I have an intercessory? Do I have it where I'm coming before God on your behalf? Are you coming before God on my behalf, on behalf of others here within our assembly? As you looked around and you gave thanks to the Lord for the saints that are here, are you interceding for them? Are you coming before God on their behalf and making requests for them? This is what Paul was doing with the church at Philippi. He was taking time to make requests for them, interceding for them. And we see here that he says, always in every prayer of mine, his prayer was continual. There was a persistence in his prayer. I believe God wants us to be diligent in our prayer. I find in myself, it's easy for me to think, well, I ask God for that, so that ought to be sufficient, right? So we ask it once and we'll just leave it there. The Lord knows that we need a dependence upon him, that we continually come to him. I mean, does God need us to pray and pray and pray and pray in order for him to understand our need? No. We are the ones that need it. We need, that shows the dependence that we have upon the Lord. And Paul was always in prayer, that there was a consistency, a continual being in prayer. I think that's why the Lord gave the situation in Luke chapter 11 where he talks about, when he's talking about prayer, and remember, and he talks about the one that would come and ask a neighbor for bread because there's something there, but they're in bed But they finally come because he keeps on knocking. The neighbor there recognizes that, hey, here's one that is really serious about their need. And I believe that's, the Lord wants us to show a seriousness in our prayer. And that's why it says in that passage, yet because of his importunity, and that's the persistence. We need to have that persistence in prayer. We need to have that where we're continually bringing things before the Lord, and not to start. You know, I think sometimes we stop praying because we just give up. We say, "Well, the Lord's not going to do it," and so we stop praying, and we're not to do that. He wants us to continue in prayer and. He says there, always in every prayer of mine in that passage. They were always before his mind. Paul had the Christians there at Philippi, he had them always before his mind. I think it's an important thing that we keep our brethren before the Lord in prayer. And his prayer was for them all. It says, for you all. All were important. There wasn't just a few. You know, it's easy for us. Sometimes we pray just for, we just pray for one or two people. Those are the ones we pray for, but we forget the rest. The Lord has brought us together as a body of believers. Paul saw the need to pray for them all. And one of the things we've done as elders is that so that we are continually praying for each one is that we take a list of all who are attending, and we divide it up into sections where it's assigned, each section is assigned to one of us to pray specifically for those for that quarter. The next quarter, it switches, and so we're, but just so that we're, it's just something to remind us. We need to be praying for our people and to bring you constantly for to intercede on behalf of you before the throne of grace. But you know, that's not just for the elders. You know, you too. And even as you thank God for the individuals, you thank God for those that have come in here, you too should take on to pray individually for each of our church families. On Wednesday night, on the prayer sheet, Pastor Howard's been making up the prayer sheets for Wednesday night. And let's see, I guess I don't have one here. There's, and maybe there aren't any out there left from this last week. But he's been putting in there. Okay, for this week, let's pray for these families. And then the next week he has another list. So he goes through it. That's just a way to, hey, individually pray for those ones. You've got your church directory. That's a good way to go through. You know, just take the church directory and just see that you're bringing your brethren, your sisters before the Lord. That will, you know, as you see them there in the directory, it'll be kind of like as you see them when you looked around here. Oh yeah, but then there's some others, maybe they've not been able to be here. Those are ones that have been sick. There's particular needs there. And it'll remind you to pray, to intercede, to come before the throne of grace for those that have need. I think that's, you know, Paul didn't have a church directory like we do. He didn't have, I don't know how he kept track of them all. But he said, I pray for you all. I'm coming before the throne of grace on your behalf. And you notice it says at the end, with joy. You know, Paul's heart, as we've looked at Paul's heart, it was a heart that was a heart of love and thanks for God's people. It was a joy to him to be able to come before the Lord on behalf of those saints. It wasn't a burden for him. You know, as you come to love and care for one, then it's not hard, but it's a joy to come before them in prayer. There was not only the thanking the Lord for the saints, not only the interceding on their behalf, interceding for the saints, but then there's the fellowshipping with the saints. And that's where we come in the fifth verse. He said, and really that with joy ties into not just the prayer above, but his prayer was with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. From the first remembrance of those at Philippi, from their first remembrance, like when they first came to Christ. And you know, I think Paul's thinking back, wow, when that jailer when that jailer who had seen that we were beaten, when I was there with Silas and we were thrown in that prison and beaten, and when the Lord released us through that earthquake and the Lord took the bands off of us, when that jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Wow. You know, that was just the plain working of God, wasn't it? It was just the plain working of God. And Paul had the joy of leading that man and leading his family to Christ. When he was down by the river and he saw Lydia and those women that met there for prayer, and he saw the Lord open the heart of Lydia and this woman come to Christ. You know, he says, when you first came, these were the first fruits of his ministry, and then ones that we don't know how it happened, that all the rest of them that are there in those years, but that church grew. And Paul, from his first remembrance, he said, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Paul said there was a fellowship with those people at Philippi from the very first ones that came to Christ. What is fellowship? What is fellowship? What is Christian fellowship? The word that is translated fellowship is, it really comes from a word that means partnership. It literally means that there is participation, that there is a participating in. You know, we sometimes say that we have, we have good fellowship. You know, we get together and we talk about John Deere tractors what's that red one? You know, no, you know, this is little friendly rivalry here sometimes among farmers. But you know, farmers get together and they talk about things, but that's not Christian fellowship. I mean, it's not that it's bad, but what is the fellowship with the saints? The fellowship with the saints was a participation in the gospel. A participation in the gospel. It's to share with one. That together you are contributing. It's interesting, at this same word that is translated fellowship here, for your fellowship in the gospel, is in Romans chapter 15 and verse 16, Paul's talking about the gift that was given from them at Philippi and others in Macedonia. And listen to the verse, Romans 15, 16. "For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." What's the word there that's fellowship? Contribution. Those at Philippi and Achaia, those of Macedonia, the country, the part of Macedonia, they contributed, they gave together for the poor saints that were at Jerusalem that were in trouble. So this word is used, a certain contribution, because it was a participating together. Christian fellowship in the gospel is a participating, a working together for the cause of the gospel of Christ. Thus, as we, if you're talking together here in the church about the Ohio State game, that might be fellowship about Ohio State game, but that's not Christian fellowship. Christian fellowship is contributing to the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. It's walking behind the little church in Fredericktown yesterday, giving gospel tracts to people. It's talking to someone. It's talking to someone in your workplace about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking to them about their need for Christ. It's contributing in some way to the needs for the proclamation of the gospel. It's signing up to help keep the church clean, for putting pretty flowers together, you know, and making it a place that is a nice place to come and worship our Lord together. It's not for the purpose here of winning some prize. It's not for the purpose of gaining myself some position, but that in some way that I might participate together for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to the rest home service this afternoon to be there an encouragement to those that aren't able to get out to church. You know, to be able to be there and to sing the hymns. And you know, some of those folks aren't able to sing, but they know that they know the hymns. So when they hear them, when they hear you, you know, you can see them mouthing the words. You know, it's an encouragement. It's a working together in the gospel. It's a coming together. It's a commitment together with the working of the local church. What happens with that? He says there in it is with joy there is that participation, and that word joy there is a word, just the calm delight that God gives, and that we can have a part in some way with the gospel of Christ. You know what? Paul found great encouragement with the people at Philippi. Why? Because he felt they were with him. Now we'll see that a little bit more when we go on here in this passage, and some specific ways that they were participating with him in the gospel. But you know, there were times when Paul says, everyone left me. There was nobody. There was nobody. And the loneliness that Paul felt, you know, when for various circumstances that ones left him, not understanding what was taking place. I think of our missionaries. Sometimes they're out there laboring where they don't have the Christian fellowship there. But what a blessing it is when they know that you at Mara Bible Church are praying for them this week, that you are interceding, that you are coming before the throne of grace on their behalf. What a blessing it is. I heard of a missionary. I heard this story a number of years ago, and it was, I don't even remember who the missionary was at this time, but he came back to his home church after being gone for many years. He walked into their Wednesday service. There was no, first of all, they didn't even recognize him, didn't recognize who he was. There was no prayer that was offered for those that were out alone in the field. And then he turned to his wife and said, I think I know why we didn't do well on the field. Because there weren't others participating with us in the ministry. Your participation in the work of the gospel. You know, that happens in many ways. Just faithfulness to the Lord's day, as we just the encouragement that we have as we come together. faithfulness to your fellow saints, where they feel like that you're with them. Like I said, the participation in outreach ministries and you know, even the testimonies on Sunday night where you'd say, you know, the Lord gave me the opportunity to be able to speak to such and such. Would you pray for him? You know, what's that do? That lets us know that, hey, they're in their own way, in their own place. We're doing the same thing. We are declaring the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we uphold one another. That's why in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about us as a body of believers, each one gifted by the Holy Spirit in a way that is where we can work and labor together. We're not all doing the same things, but we're working the same. We should be working the same things for the goal that is before us, for our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:11, as it talks about the body of Christ, it says, "But all these working that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will," that means the Spirit of God, "has given to each of us individually that which he would have us to do. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." He said, God has placed us together as a body of believers. He has gifted each of you in a special way. He's gifted you that you have that which is to contribute together. It doesn't matter if you're a little finger or if you're the muscle in the arm or whatever you are. Every part is important. And when one part is not working, then the body doesn't work right. And Paul had a great confidence. He had a great thankfulness for the saints at Philippi because of the work that God had done in their lives, because of their fellowship, that they were participating with him in the gospel. You know, when one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. And that passage in 1 Corinthians lets us know that. It says, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or when one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That means there's not jealousy when one person has something that somebody else doesn't have. But we rejoice with those that rejoice, and we weep with those that weep. Oh, might we have that fellowship in the gospel that Paul experienced there with the church at Philippi. A working and a laboring together as the body of Christ. Each one taking what God enables us to do. What can I do? What can I do for the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? How can I in some way help in the ministry of the local assembly for the gospel of Christ? And then doing it. I think one of the great blessings that it's been to me as your pastor over the years is to feel that fellowship, to feel that those that are there to do whatever they can. Sometimes, and I've heard many of you talk about how you can't do anything, or I'm not gifted such and such. I've heard some of you saying those things, and yet I know you are. And yet I've seen you use those things that you're able to do, and so we feel a fellowship, a participation together in the gospel of Christ. Well, what do we see in these verses? Paul had a thankfulness to God for the saints. Thank God for the saints. Thank God for your fellow believers as we've gathered together. As I said, I had you look around a little bit, but look around as you leave and begin to thank God for them. Intercede for them. Come before the throne of grace for them. Take your church directory. Take a list that you have of the believers here, and look down through and consider each one, and come before the throne of grace on their behalf. That's what Paul did. He found great joy in that. And he joyed in their participation, in their fellowship in the gospel. Let us serve together. Let us work and labor together, giving what we individually can do. No, you can't do what somebody else can do. That's because God planned it that way. He planned it that way. He gave to everyone severally as he will. And he asks us to be faithful in what he has given to us and to use those gifts. So let us participate together in the gospel of Christ. In our next message, we'll look at the confidence that Paul had in the work of God in the believers. And we'll see that as we look to the next passage of Scripture. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, how I thank you for this congregation of people. I thank you, Lord, because they're saints called of you. And Lord, you're working and dealing in their lives. And you're making changes in their lives. And I pray, Lord, thanking you for them. Help us, Lord, to thank you, each one, Lord. Give us a heart of thanks. Help us, Lord, to make intercession. Help us, Lord, to be in prayer for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us, Lord, not to neglect that, Lord, which you have chosen and how you've chosen to work on behalf of the prayers of your people. And then, Lord, help us to labor together, serving you in every way that we can for the cause of Christ, that we may be known as the church of Philippi was, for our participation together in the gospel of Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Take your hymnals and